Let us say that every 2 months, that is what we used to do. Not now, I'm deciding myself because we have too many demands. The last 2 years we had a meeting every 2 months. We had to select the tapes that we were receiving from the freelance producers, because we, with the 425, we have not produced all of them, but we have edited them. You have sometimes some people who have a tape, they want to release it, they don't have the means. Sometimes you have a musician who has a tape, like I was talking about some Mangwana, he has a tape, he wants it to be released, and so. So every 2 months we were making a meeting about that tapes that we have to listen to, that we have to select. And firstly, we had to make the meeting also for the musicians that we had to record. They were supposed to give to us a cassette called a maquette. You know it. Maquette is just the music that they want to be recorded, but they are playing very freely with just a guitar to give us an idea of what they want to do. So we had a meeting every 2 months about this project, and we had to select it. It took maybe 2 days, 2 days to make a selection of the record, which had to be released. And this is what we used to do some years ago. Let us say this past 2 years. Now we have a so big demand, and ourselves, we have been so much recording that we can't accept any tape. So sometimes, exceptionally, if we have a very good tape, we make it. If we don't have it, so we release our own record. So I understand your question. I think you wanted to know what kind of influence that we have in the selection of the music that we release. Okay, let us say that firstly, we have the influence is commercial, which means that we select the music of the moment, which works very nicely. If you see these 2 past years, maybe 80% of our music was Zaire music. Now, this past year, you have maybe 10%, because Zaire music is being, you know, passed in our area. So we are making now Senegalese music, Ivorian music, Togo music, you see. It's up to what is working at the time, because firstly, we are, of course, commercial. What works very nice, that is what we select. We say, okay, this can work. Okay, let us take it. I think people will like this.
A question which interests me as a record collector is the old records. And you made one LP I know of with Frank on OK Jazz. It's a re-recording, actually, of old 78 records. Why doesn't you produce more LPs today of old records, old recordings like African in the Sono Disc now? African, they reproduce.
Okay, this is good, because I have heard some people like you telling me the same time. But I think in when you are thinking in terms of commercial, you have to be very careful, because I had some very close friend of mine who were telling me, listen, Daniel, these all the numbers, if you re-release them, I'm sure you will make a lot of money. No problem. Without a doubt, you will make a lot of money. I suggest you very, very, very surely to make it. And then, okay, I spoke to Franco. We gathered together all the old hits, all the all the hits, the all the best numbers. And when we released the first number, that was the biggest deception. Myself here, I haven't sold 1,000. Himself, I think in Paris, maybe, I don't know, 2,000-3,000, which is a loss for us when we consider how the other records sell. If we consider that the expenses are the same, we prefer to release new records. And so for this, we have to be very careful. A lot of people, collectors especially, they want us to release the old numbers. But for us, there is no benefits to make it. It's very hard. Oh, let me tell you something. In the best sale was Bebe Manga. Last year and this year, Bebe Manga, which was released here 4 years ago, 1979, January. And now, 4 years ago now, it's a big hit in New York. It was number one in New York. In December 8, 1982, it was number one. And I think it's the biggest sale. If we consider what they have sold in New York, it's the biggest sale.
I should like to sort of stay a little bit around this, about the sales. Could you say that there is a different preference towards a certain kind of music in different parts of Africa?
Yeah, surely. Let us say that Zaire music is liked by people from Central Africa to Abidjan. In Senegal, in Mali, in Upper Volta, in Guinea, Sierra Leone, Niger, part of North Ivory Coast, it's Mandingo music. And from Ivory Coast to Benin, Togo, Gabon, Congo, Central Africa, and Zaire, of course, it's Zaire music. These are the two strongest music. And I have not mentioned Cameroon, which is very special, where they like their own music, which is Makossa. Mm-hmm.
But if you compare the styles in Africa with the sales in the United States, in France, does that differ very much from the pattern of sales you have in Africa?
Yes, let us say that generally when a record, as I was telling you, is very well sold in Abidjan, it's very well sold also in France especially, not absolutely in USA, where they have a special, you know, mentality of the African music. For the meantime, they prefer, we have to remember that America is an English speaking country. So when our people are speaking in French, they don't understand. So they prefer people music like High Life or Juju music coming from Ghana or from Nigeria, which is not the case in France. If even they don't understand the language, the African, they don't understand the language. They understand the French that is used in the music.
But you were mentioning some independent producers which were sending you cassettes and for future releases. But generally, are all the records produced here in Abidjan, or is it more spread all over Africa?
Well, our production is at maybe 40% recorded here, another 30% recorded in Paris, another maybe 20% recorded in New York, and the rest recorded all over Africa, sometimes in Zaire, sometimes in Senegal, sometimes in Togo, where they have a very nice studio, you know, all over Africa.
But all of the Tabule records, which was called in Abidjan, all of the Franco, Visa, Edipop, are they recorded here in Abidjan?
No, they were recorded in Zaire.
In Zaire?
Yes, they were recorded, the one, two, three, let me see, the Rochereau one. All the Rochereau that we have released ourselves have been recorded in Zaire. All the Franco have been recorded in Zaire. The last, the latest numbers of Franco and Rochereau have been released in, one is, has been released in, have been, has been recorded in Belgium of Rochereau. And Franco has made Franco Une Nuit au Safari Club in Belgium. Franco Présent Joski in Paris. Shock, Shock, Shock. Franco et Taboulé in Paris. And Franco and Taboulé, Taboulé et Franco, it was recorded in Paris. Yes, I think the latest, the last numbers, the last records have been released, recorded and released in Paris or Belgium, but the first numbers, all the records that we have released have been recorded in Zaire. Some of them were recorded at Renapec, some at Le Père Buffalo, who has a small studio, two tracks. And now they have an 8-tracks with VV Studio. Verkus has a studio. This is where we have recorded the volume 7 and volume 8.
So I should like to know how the record, the arrangement between the company and the artist is organized economically. Is that a percentage of the sales, or how is the payment back to the artist?
Okay, let us say that is the biggest names as Franco and Rochereau. We give a certain amount of royalties as a deposit when we started to work. To give an idea, for Franco, it was 4,500,000 for Abidjan only. This has to be multiplied by 3 for Lomé, Togo, all this thing. Let me see, in dollars now it's about $12,000 only for Abidjan. So we give this as a deposit, as a guarantee. And then we have to pay a certain amount of royalties, which is now about 15%, 15.12%. percent to them, up to the quantities of records sold, and paid every 3 months, 2 months for certain of them. For the non-known artists that we have to promote, that's the same thing that we don't have. The only difference that is that we don't have to give the guarantee in advance. We just have to pay the royalties every 3 months. Every 3 months we give the same amount of royalty.
And I have, I think this is my final question. The problem with pirate copying, how do you see that in different parts of Africa? Is it the same all over Africa, or is it very different from Zaire to Abidjan to Dakar? Or?
Okay, this is a very, 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 very important question. We know that all our products are pirated. In certain countries like Zaire, not Zaire especially, let me see, I'm talking about Zaire. I wanted to talk about Nigeria, Ghana. they pirate those all our records. They make them in cassettes, in records. They make copies. There is nothing that we can do because we are not covered by the author's rights office. But in our countries like Senegal, Ivory Coast, Togo, Benin, Upper Volta, Zaire, Congo, all those countries are French countries, are covered by the author's rights office. And generally when they find pirate copies of our records, there is something that they do. But I think they don't have really the means that they should have to do.
When you say they,
I'm talking about the office, the author's rights office. They don't have the means, because I know that that on Far East or Middle East, this exists. But they have very big means, like drugs and everything. They fight with them with big means. But I think that as generally international, they don't care about the piracy of music. They don't care about it, really, because they know that this is not something that can kill somebody, like drugs. You know, they don't fight about it. Because here, everybody knows that at every corner, at every block, you can meet people selling everywhere pirate copies of cassettes. They know that these are pirate copies, and people import that copies very legally. So why don't they go to the customs and ask them that they, before importing the cassettes, they have to prove that they have been authorized to import them. But they don't do that. They let them pay the tax, they let them pay everything, and when the cassettes are there in the country, they start to fight with them, but it's too late. So it's a very, very, very important problem for us, because we are pirated and there is nothing that can be done. Ourselves, there is nothing that we can do. All we can do is to go to the police, to go to see the lawyer, but how long will it take? About two times they have seized a lot of copies here, there, but we don't know what have become these copies. Have they destroyed them? Have they burned them? What have they done with that copies? We don't know. We don't know. I think we should have to be paid back for this, because our sales are maybe 50% less, but they don't do nothing on that. There is also a big problem that we have maybe to explain. I think that if we had a big cassette plant, pressing plant for of very good quality first, and also cassette plant here, I think this would never happen. But as we don't have that, we have to make ourselves the cassettes in France to import them, and they cost they are very expensive. They cost very much, and then we have to sell them more than pirate copies, which are very often maybe the same quality. Sometimes they are not the same. They have very bad qualities, but sometimes they have very nice qualities, and also sometimes they make selection of the best numbers. The pirates, they make selection of the best numbers, which explains that people prefer to go to buy that pirate copies, because they cost less, because they have been made in Far East, where they do not cost a lot. They are sometimes in very good quality, and they are not expensive, and so they are available everywhere. Very nice jacket, everything. So people maybe prefer to buy that. So it's a big loss for us.
It's another, that's my final question. It's the copyright security of the, which in French is called droit d'auteur.
In Nigeria or Ghana, where it's very difficult to control this. as you know. But I think it's not the same time. You were mentioning just a little before. You were mentioning the United States, which they have an organization, but which really doesn't take care about this. Because I have myself released record in United States, but I never had to pay this in advance. I had to pay directly to the artist, because they were knowing that we had not paid the author's rights there. As Jonas Pedro, we had to pay to him directly his rights, because we had not released the songs, the record here. He was knowing that we had made it in the United States, so we had to pay him directly. This is why in France, when you import now from United States, you have to pay also the author's rights.
But you pay according to the number of copies you are producing, importing?
Yes, up to, let us say that here in Ivory Coast you paid 162 francs, CFR, because they are saying that 8% of a certain amount are 162 francs CFR. So, but in France, exactly it's 7.79%. You have to pay this. You have to pay this any time, anyhow. You cannot release any record. You cannot make any record without paying this. We are a big company, we don't used to go there and pay in advance. They give to us a certain allowance and we pay every month, every 2 months. We just have to give the statement. They go directly to the factory. They know how many records have been done. They send to us a bill and we pay by check. That's it. This is what we used to do here and in Paris too. We have a account with them. But it's very, very, very cover. It's very, you know, it's defended. There is a defense of the author's rights, very serious in our area.
But I'm not talking about author's right from in the relationship between producer and the artist. I'm talking about the relationship between public use, which is use in radio, for instance, television, where in Europe, that's what I'm telling about this list I'm making from all my programs, where the Danish radio is paying to the international or through to the Danish organization of which is Droit de Auteur. They are paying for playing the record in the radio.
Same thing. As we are paying to release the record, the radio station has to pay here. For example, here in the Ivory Coast, they pay. They have a certain amount that they pay. That's an arrangement between the state, the government, the ministry of the information ministry, and the author's right. They have to pay a certain amount yearly for all the rights, and they have to divide it up between the artists up to what they have their songs which have been played in the radio and everything. But all the stores pay where they play music, radio station pay. TV is supposed to pay. I cannot guarantee, but I think that they pay. Yes, there was a big problem between TV. I remember that we had 3 days of author's rights. We were talking about author's rights. I know that TV pays and radio station, but they don't give the details, which is very important. They don't, you know, they don't mention the name of the. So they just pay a certain amount every year. You know, as you know here, the government, the people, a certain amount. I don't know how to explain it to you. There is an expense post. So they say that this year we are going to pay 300 millions CFR. So we have to pay it anyhow, because we had paid last year 270 millions. This year, let us say that we have 10% more. We will pay 300 millions. So they pay it without any problem. But they don't give the details. Maybe sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more, but they pay, but they don't give the details, and that's a big problem. But anyhow, everybody pays here. Mm-hmm. The stores, even the stores pays. The planes, Air Afrique plays. The national company here plays by playing music on board. this dark place. When you make a show, you play. You cannot make a show without giving a certain amount in advance, because they know how many seats you have for the show and everything. So they make us they calculate how much you have to pay, and you have to pay a minimum. When you have finished, you have to pay the rest. So it's a very, you know, for the payments of the rights, it's very organized here, very, very, very organized.